The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
This is Lindsay Bjorklund. I am the client happiness manager and podcast producer here at Grow My Cleaning Company. And I am back today with Tracy Thompson, who is our mindset coach.
Thank you. Thank you, Lindsay. We have lots of really cool, exciting things to talk about today. So yes, Miss Lindsay, go for it.
All right. Let's jump into it, Tracy. There's always kind of some drama, maybe not big drama, but I was thinking about that family dynamic and partnerships, business, how to manage that and how to deal with that in your cleaning company.
You know what? It's very common. A lot of what we get when we have cleaning company owners come to us, they started the business with family members, brothers, sisters, parents, you know, or they inherited the business, or they took on friends, you know, partners. But we find this is a very common dynamic in our community. And so Clean Nation, if you're out there and you have a partner or you work with your family, you probably can relate to some of this. So listen up. So let's see. One of the biggest challenges that I hear cleaning company owners talk about when they have partnerships is too many chefs in the kitchen, right? Everybody trying to run the business by committee. And while that feels really like, okay, that feels fair. And, you know, theoretically on paper, that sounds like a great idea. It's like everybody should agree and we should all discuss things before we do it. And all that sounds great until there's actual, you know, stuff that has to be done every single day and decisions that have to be made quickly and effectively and actions that need to be had to be taken. And that's when all the glue starts to fall apart in that great plan of how we're going to like a democratic environment where everyone is going to vote and we're all going to agree and hold hands and sing kumbaya together. Well, that's not usually the way it goes, Lindsay. So usually what we hear is we can't agree. We don't agree. Or we discuss it ad nauseum. We, you know, analyze it to death. We all think, well, if, you know, I don't want to be the one to just go ahead and make a decision without the consensus of everybody else. And it's usually a mess. That's usually when things start to go sideways.
So I guess my biggest question is, what if you find yourself just banging heads, you're not agreeing on anything, and you can't grow that way? How do you get out of that rut? What's the first thing you advise people?
Oh my gosh, you have got it. You hit it right on the head, Lindsay. Boy, you just went straight on with this one. Okay, so let's do it. So here's the harsh truth. The truth is, the one thing you do have to agree on is that somebody has to make the decision. Someone has to be responsible for making the decision and collectively. So there has to be a decision maker in one or more areas. So for example, let me give you some examples. So if you're running the business with one partner, then between the two of you, you decide on these areas of the business, I will make the decisions definitively. It doesn't mean that we're not going to talk about it, but in the end, I'm going to be the one who's going to be responsible for said decision, taking action and so forth. And you will be responsible for, and this person has to agree, of course, to these other areas of the business. And that becomes the final, you know, gap stop, right? It's like, all right, if we're going to move quickly, if we're going to grow, we're going to scale, we need to have designated areas of the business that we are choosing to and taking responsibility for the final decision. And this is where a lot of people, it just doesn't occur to them. It's like, oh, well, that makes so much sense. It does. But the challenge, of course, is always that when we are so close to it, it's hard to get through our emotions of how we feel when we're in it, that clouds our judgment and keeps us from executing that strategy. But I will say this, Clean Nation, if you're working in a partnership, that's step number one, is to sit down with everybody involved and say, okay, the one thing we cannot leave this table without is an agreement on who's going to be the final decision maker and action taker in each one of these areas. That's step number one.
Okay, that I like how specific that was, because that was my next question, or when you were talking through it, I was already thinking, is one person deciding everything across the whole business, or is it more democratic, like you said before, and each person according to their strengths? I guess maybe you could elaborate on that a little more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I agree with you on that. I think that what happens, what we find is that people just kind of take, in a family dynamic or a partner dynamic, they tend to just take whatever, I guess, they felt like they should. And I say that in air quotes for those of you who aren't seeing me right now. They think they should do. And it's not necessarily the area of their expertise or strength or even desire. They may not even want to do that. It could be tasks or things that I call it the cake and the cringe list, that are on their cringe list, but because they believe they're supposed to, or they think they have to, they've taken over those tasks. So my recommendation is everybody pull their desires and their cake and their cringe list onto the table and have an open, honest discussion around what people in the business actually enjoy and are good at and what they don't. I mean, start there at least have an open discussion about what it is that you feel you're strongest at and enjoy, and vice versa. This could surprise you. And this oftentimes when I guess you could say mediate these discussions amongst partners and family members in our program, they oftentimes say to each other, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know you hated doing that. I really don't mind it. What if I did that instead? And they come to this agreement because they're being honest. So I love that, Lindsay. Thank you for pointing that out.
What's another common dilemma you see our clients and Cleaning Nation in general going through relates to this topic of family partnerships?
Well, I will say it's just speaking of mindset. I think the good news about working with partners and family is that you have a mutual common larger why. If you will, you know, we all talk about what's your big why. At least a family has a larger, outside of the company, bigger why that holds them together, that is glue that holds them together, which is great. And hopefully a partnership, whether it be friendship or otherwise, also has a similar glue. So I don't want it to sound like I'm saying partnerships are bad or wrong or anything like that. It's just that glue, the bigger why, can get lost sometimes. And so it becomes almost a problem in of itself. So let me give you an example again. How that translates is, let's say hiring, right? This is very topical for everybody, hiring. Okay, so hiring is one of those things, especially with family members, where the whole family is sort of, it's a family business, and the children may be out there cleaning, or your spouse may be cleaning and so forth. And hiring becomes a really challenging area of the business because everyone has a very different point of view about it. And that's where I find that a lot of not having open discussion happens. So a lot of assuming happens, a lot of assuming that the other person or the other people feel certain ways, but you don't really know for sure. So our empathy that works so well for our relationships outside of business, tend to get us into trouble with family members and partners when we're trying to do something challenging like hiring in a time like this, during this weird hiring phase that we're in. And nobody's talking about how they feel. Nobody's saying the truth about how they feel. And they're not asking the other person. They're assuming and they're projecting. And so there's a lot of that that goes on. And what I find is one of two things happens. One, everybody kind of ignores it and pretends like it's not happening, right? It's like denial, just like, hey, let's just not talk about it. Let's just pretend. And then nobody really takes the reins and hiring doesn't happen. And they get busier and busier and everyone's more and more miserable, but nobody wants to talk about it because they don't want to be that person who complains, blah, 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 right? So down the rabbit hole we go. Or the opposite. One person is doing all the work, trying to compensate for the others because they assume that if they don't do it, nobody will, blah, blah, blah. Again, a lot of not communicating is at the core of what happens because we're trying to save each other's feelings because we want to preserve our relationship outside of work. That can become a real challenge. And honestly, it's hard, Lindsay, when you don't have an outside point of view, maybe a neutral person, a third party that can help navigate through those challenging dynamics. And I know that a lot of our members are grateful to have a third party, an outside point of view for that reason.
What's a safe, I don't want to say safe, but you know, who can they trust? Like, how do you know who to speak with as a third party? How do you judge that?
That's a great question. I think the let me start with who's not a good choice. Let's start with who's not a good choice first. All right. So who's not a good choice? Another family member. If you're having family dynamic problems in the challenges inside the business, another family member, usually not a good choice because the same, ironically, the same dynamics come into play. Also, someone who is who's your friend, but not friends with the rest of the family or the partners, or so it can't be your bestie or someone super close to one member, but not the other. It truly needs to be someone that everyone has at least enough of a respect level for, a third party that is neutral enough to where they don't have a dog in the fight. They're not emotionally involved. They can honestly be objective. And ideally someone who, again, doesn't even have to have necessarily business acumen, but they need to be able to help them from a relationship and a mindset perspective. So a coach, to me, any coach, any type of mentor or coach that fits into that category would be great. If you have someone that you know peripherally, it cannot be somebody too close, that you can go to and say, hey, you know what? I'd love for you to just come and sit with us and be that neutral third party so that we can work through some of these discussions. But you're still going to need to take the lead. You're going to be the one that has to take action, because if you want something different in the way that your business is run and growing or not growing, right? If you want to make a change, it has to start with you first. Absolutely.
It has to start with you first. I love that. It's like being honest with yourself, realizing there's a problem. What is one more thing Cleaning Nation can do today to take action on solving a problem once and forever?
I would say the very first step of everything that I've said today is to at least gather all your people that are in the business, partners, family members together, and request that you all share your cake and your cringe list. And to be clear, your cake is what you like doing, what you feel like you're good at. And your cringe list is the things that, well, obviously that make you cringe, that you would rather not do if you didn't have to. And at least start there. Have an honest, frank discussion, because I believe that that alone will at least open up the dialogue, and you may be surprised at what comes up from that. Start there.
Ooh, I love that. I'm stealing that. Cake and cringe list. Cleaning again. There you have it. My last call to action today is, if this is really resonating with you, if you want to grow your cleaning company and get a third party in, a neutral third party on both the mindset front, like Tracy here, and the tactical, is where Mike comes in, check out growmycleaningcompany.com/talk, and you can get all the info you need on how to get started and how we can help you there. So that's it, Cleaning Nation. Well, Tracy, I'm going to let you sign us off.
All right, Clean Nation, take action. Nothing changes until you change. So do it. Take action today, and we will see you on the other side. Bye.
Bye, Cleaning Nation.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.